So a month ago, did you ever think it would happen? On Easter Sunday, did you ever think it would happen? That spring would come, and it did this week. And I think what makes it so joyful for us this year, it's been such a long winter where we haven't had as many Chinooks as we usually do, where we have that sense of relief. By just this last week, we can declare spring has arrived. And so this is that time of the year when we'll get out into our yards and see all the stuff that we didn't clean up last fall that is just lying there. We'll get out there with our rakes. We'll sweep off the decks. We'll get out the pruning shears and we'll cut back the rose bushes. We will anticipate that as the month of May unfolds before us, we will see renewal before our very eyes. Renewal. That is one of the things that does make the month of May, for me, I think my favorite month of the year. And it seems appropriate that as we are at the end of April, beginning of May, that we have a gospel today that is a gospel that has as its theme the theme of spiritual renewal. It's a beautiful passage, isn't it? Where Jesus invites us to more deeply discover what it means to abide in him. To have the gift of knowing the fruitfulness that is characteristic of those who say, Jesus, yes, you are the vine. We are the branches. You see, Jesus wants us to discover the spiritual equivalent that is comparable to the organic unity that exists between a vine and its branches. Repeatedly, Jesus says, abide in me as I abide in you. Live a life that is connected to me in such a way that my words become intrinsic to your soul as the life-giving sap from the vine ensures the vitality of the branches. And so as May dawns on Tuesday, I want to talk with you this morning about how we are to have a May in our souls. Just as the month of May brings to the earth all of this new fruit, this new life, Jesus wants us to see that he invites us to lives of fruitfulness. But before we can think of the fruitfulness, I want to talk to you for a minute about spiritual barrenness. At the very beginning of the gospel, Jesus said, the Father, who is the vine grower, removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it more fruitful. Now, if you're attentive to the writings of St. John, you'll know that he not only wrote this beautiful gospel, he also wrote three letters and the Revelation. And one of the things that strikes me about St. John when I read him carefully is what an attentive pastor he is. He is one who truly takes to heart the movements that happen in the souls of those people who have been entrusted to him. And so in his letter that we heard read a portion of this morning, he addresses spiritual barrenness this way. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. Listen to this. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. What assurance. God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. But St. John also knows there are those times when our hearts do condemn us. And notice where he locates spiritual barrenness. It is in the heart. There's a moving passage in Romans chapter 7 where St. Paul reveals more openly than anywhere else the interior struggle that he goes through, that the what I want to do, I do not do, and the very thing I do not do, I end up doing. And he shouts out, who is going to save me from this body of death? And that's what it feels like when our hearts condemn us. It's like experiencing a body of death. And I think every one of us here knows something of what I'm talking about. That condemnation that stalks us as we remember the effects of childhood and adolescent trauma resulting from abuse and neglect. It might be the condemnation that we experience as we struggle with a besetting sin that so often seems to get the better of us and leaves us with that sense of condemnation, or those thoughts that are like popcorn popping in the microwave. And it gets faster, faster, more intense, those thoughts that have that quality that leave us feeling anxious, sleepless, perhaps doubting God's love and goodness because of the complex and unresolved issues that are part of our daily lives. So St. John, the good pastor, says, yes, beloved, there are times when our hearts do condemn us, but remember that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. And you see, what God desires is that through Jesus, the Father wants to work in our lives, he wants to work in our souls to deal with those places of barrenness. But one of the things that I think it means to truly be authentic in our faith is to recognize that there are areas where we all struggle with this. There are those places where the restless night leaves us tossing and turning. And yet, St. John the pastor wants to also acknowledge that this barrenness, as we deal with it, can lead to a kind of new fruitfulness. Because he goes on to say in our reading, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever he asks, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. I love that passage from Acts where it says that Saul, who has now become a Christian, is preaching with boldness the name of Jesus. And Barnabas is someone who comes alongside Saul when the rest of the early Christian community wants to condemn him. They don't trust him. But Barnabas, whose name means the son of encouragement, is there for Saul. And because he is there for Saul, Saul is able to, with great conviction, speak to the Jewish people who are of Greek origin, called the Hellenists, with boldness. You see, there is something that happens in our lives when we allow for the Holy Spirit to so work that rather than experiencing that condemnation, we have a sense of confidence. And so our lives become more and more open to the sap of grace so that we can be confident before Christ. But in order for that confidence to grow, just like a vine or a tree, we need to recognize that for this kind of fruitfulness to exist, there needs to be both an internal and an external quality to our life. Think about a tree. In order for it to be healthy, its root system has to be healthy. It has to be healthy from the inside out. Maybe some of us have had the experience of a tree in the spring where all of its needles seem to have fallen away, and there's a carpet at the base of it. Because somehow over the winter, its internal system has died. And so externally, it's not what it once was. The same thing can happen with us in our lives. That if we're not alive from the inside out, then we cannot manifest in our lives the character that Jesus describes in this gospel as bearing fruit for him. But here's the beautiful thing that we can discover, most especially as we live our lives as Catholic Christians. You see, the church understands this internal dimension of our lives. That's why we have the reality of a sacramental life. We have the gift of the sacrament of confession, where we can truly come and say to Jesus, in this area of my life, I am sorry, I have sinned. Please prune me. Make me ready for deeper growth. And then, of course, in her teaching for 2,000 years, the church has invited us to understand that it means to abide in Christ as we abide in his word. You know, one of the things that I've discovered about John 15 over the last few years is that it's not meant primarily for me as an individual. That's how I used to read it. Oh, this is about Jonathan's relationship with Jesus. And although that is an important dimension to this text, it needs to be read communally as the church. Each one of us are branches in the vine that is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We are this great organism that for 2,000 years has at times needed to be pruned seriously, but always so that the vine, who is Christ, and his branches, who are the Catholic Church, can thrive. Pope Francis, in one of his early papal documents called The Joy of the Gospel, said this about the Eucharist. The Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect, but a powerful medicine and nourishment for the weak. Not a prize for the perfect, but a powerful nourishment and medicine for the weak. And indeed, it is in the Eucharist that we most fully abide in Jesus, because it's in the Eucharist that we receive the sap of grace, which is his very lifeblood into us. But we need to remember that it is nourishment for the weak. For you see, when we live this way, with this perspective and understanding, then we're learning to be patient with one another. We're learning to live the way of grace, that we do not have it all together, that every single one of us is in need of mercy. And it's so easy for us to become impatient with one another. It's so easy for us to end up judging one another because of mistakes made. But if we take to heart what Jesus is saying in today's gospel, through our weaknesses, through our shortcomings, if they become an opportunity for us to grow, then indeed it's like Jesus pruning the vine so that we can be more fruitful. And so out of this interior place of knowing what it is to have the very lifeblood of Jesus flowing through our very lives, we then think of the external component. And I love the way this is spoken of in the Acts passage. It said that the church had a time of peace. They had the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they grew in numbers. Comfort of the Holy Spirit is that sense of being connected to Christ in such a way that we are naturally growing as we should. And when that happens, what do our lives look like? Well, the very thing that Jesus said at the end of today's gospel, bear much fruit so that you will show that you are my disciples. And the fruit that we are most fully to bear is understandably the fruit of love. I've used this definition many times before, but it's so helpful that we need to be reminded of what St. Thomas Aquinas said, that to love is to will the good of the other as other. To will another person's good is also to understand and to respect their weaknesses and to truly be patient with them as they seek to grow. To will the good of the other is what it means to truly live intentionally and caringly. And what did St. John in today's epistle say about such love? He put it this way: all who obey Jesus' commandments abide in him and he abides in them. And by this we will know that he abides in us by the Spirit he has given to us. You see, it is only by the Spirit of Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit, that we can grow in love. And I want to end this homily with a beautiful quote from St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei. In one of his books called The Way, he speaks of love this way: do everything for love. Thus there will be no little things. Everything will be big. Perseverance in little things for love is heroism. And are not our lives made up day by day of little things? How we respond to hurt, how we respond to disappointment, how we interact with our children, with our spouses, with those with whom we work, how we live together as the parish of St. Peter's. It's all about little things. And St. Hosea Maria says that when we do and persevere in little things for love, this is heroism. I believe that this is a time in St. Peter's life where we are experiencing a spiritual spring. There is so much vitality. There is so much life here. But with that, it's complicated. It's messy. And at times, it is difficult. But if we understand the opportunity that Jesus is presenting to us, we can more fully be a people who say, yes, in the everyday little things, I want to grow in love because I want to become a heroic Catholic. An heroic Catholic is a man, a woman, a teen, a child, who recognizes that they are part of this amazing vine, and that as branches of that vine, we are to have the kind of vitality that allows us to discover a spiritual renewal, that is like May to our souls.